Today on the Cooligans, MLS has returned in full force. All the players have signed where they need to sign. Casemiro made his debut for Inter Miami. We also had Griezmann play. We also had Robert Lewandowski. All the blonde hair, the gray hairs, they're all playing in Major League Soccer, and we're excited for the second half of the season.
All right, and of course, we're going to do a couple interviews, right? We got to talk to stars, and we got Angel City striker Riley Tiernan on the show. That's exciting. And then after that, we do a little bit of Christian and I take a couple hits of the dopamine. You'll know exactly what I'm talking about, because USMNT, they didn't leave the World Cup in great fashion. So let's talk about who's up next, who gives us that hope that it's all going to be okay in the future. That and more today on the Cooligans.
My son played in participated in the next level. He went from like toddler soccer class to junior.
U15s? Junior. Kids ready to go.
So from the U three and a halves to the U4s, basically. So he got there a little bit early before. So this bit again, we were talking last week about what U.S. soccer needs to do to win the 2030 World Cup.
Exactly.
And also, I want to just give a quick shout out. We got a lot of messages, and there was one message from one of our fans that wrote a really detailed sort of...
I think I saw it was like a soliloquy.
Yeah, about like why soccer is so challenging and why it's like so difficult to create these elite players, because it requires such a huge investment from the parents. Like you almost can't have a 9-to-5 if you're trying to develop like talent, which is like, again, another hindrance of why U.S. soccer is kind of like behind other countries, because of the investment that even the parents have to make. And obviously that exists all over the world, but not almost to the degree that parents in the United States have to. So it's a whole other thing. Shout out to Adam who sent that message. It was incredible. Thank you for sending that.
I got a lot of messages on States Cup. People love the idea.
Yeah, I did see that too.
Yeah.
So my son, he had his three or four month evaluation call, and they were like, oh, he should play in the next level. I'm like, okay, cool. Cause he's in the baby class, and he's like doing that. Like, it's almost too easy for him. So we're like, all right, let's see what it's like in the junior class. And wow, this is the shocking reality of like now being in a much more, I wouldn't say professional environment, but you know what I mean? It's just like the level
competitive
a little bit more competitive, right?
Yeah.
And the baby class is like, we're all here to have a good time. I'll do the drills. We're all learning the basics of the game, and really just like listening to coaches and teamwork and stuff like that. And then he did fine in pretty much all the drills. Like the biggest difference is like where the parents can't be in the class with him. We're outside watching. And that is already an emotional experience, because you're just like used to whenever he's having any trouble in the class, I could just get up and help him. And this time I have to just like, he has to like listen to the coaches, and he's not getting any support. So he did fine in most of the drills and everything. It was new to him, but yeah, he struggled a little bit. But then they did the 1v1s, which I didn't even know that this was a thing 3-year-old did, right? Mm-hmm. And he's in the class with basically 3.5 to 5-year-olds.
Which doesn't seem like a lot, but that's like 25% more life.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's kind of crazy.
Your body has grown like another 20-30% as well. Like, compared
those are
to-
men. Get him away from my child.
So he's doing fine at pretty much everything. And then the 1v1s, and whenever we're playing, me and him are playing 1v1, it's just like a goofy little fun. Like, he chases the ball, he kind of falls down. I let him get the ball. And this one, he was in a 1v1 with a like 4.5-year-old girl, and this girl was demolishing.
Yeah,
like literally,
turning the kid.
But not even like super tight, just physically like, no, I'm getting the ball. I'm the bigger kid, and I'm gonna get the ball. And there were moments he's never done this. He would run up to like, we're seated in benches outside, but there's like a glass so we can see everything going on. And he rushes up to the glass and he's like in tears. Like, he's like, oh, I can't get the ball.
Yeah.
And it's just like, oh my God. I was like, it's breaking my heart. I'm like, this is what's wrong with the sport.
Yeah.
We got to get this out of the game. You know what I mean?
He's like, why aren't we red carding this young girl?
It was just so, it's so jarring. Like the, and again, it was just like the his first class. And he's just, I mean, he has to like,
yeah,
now that it gets a little bit more competitive, he has to like kind of adjust to that and figure that out. But I was realizing, especially given the conversation we were having last week, like it is a, it's a, like being a parent of like a young athlete, I'm like, I'm right in the beginning stages
first
of
competitive,
it.
You're but, like, you know what? It's just tough being a father of this Olympiad.
But you realize the emotional investment in that. And like, I, the
even I'm
the, like, I couldn't, I
me
can't.
Not being a parent, I'm hearing your story and I'm thinking, you're too soft. You got to look at this kid and go, turn around, get back out there. Don't like, cry at the glass.
The fact that I couldn't help him in that moment, I'm like,
you're not going to be there forever, right?
That's like the thing to like adjust.
You're having the I'm dropping my kid off at college experience
right now
with a 3.5-year-old.
Bro, I want to slide tackle the little girl. Bro. Yeah, no, I want to help him.
I get it. But, I never met this kid and I'm mad at her. That's, but that you got to let your son solve it. So for it was,
and it's interesting the way my wife and I manage that, because she's like, oh, I want him to like have a lot of fun. I don't want him to be in this class yet. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, all right. I mean, it's hard and it's challenging, but he like, he just has to keep going.
I mean, and I hate to say this, but he doesn't have a lot of time, right? If we're going to listen to Arsene Wenger by 6 years old, he's got to have that competitive edge.
That's what I'm trying to convey to my wife. We got to like be
you
a little bit
more
cutthroat.
You get in his way now, you're going to ruin the rest of his life. Okay. Right?
So that's where we are in his soccer career right now. And we'll see what ends up happening. But I think the physicality, I think he probably needs like a month or two, because I think it is a lot. I don't really see the benefit of him getting literally pushed to the ground by 4-year-olds and 5-year-olds.
Well, it's the resilience.
Yeah. I think it could build that, but it is
No, it's not you think you can. It does.
It's a lot.
As uncomfortable
when you
as it
see
is,
this
it does.
Kid with tears in his eyes, pressed on the glass. Yeah. I mean,
you've known me long enough to know I feel nothing.
I think it would even pierce your steel heart.
I don't think so. I'd be like, it's building character. More. Bring out a 7-year-old girl.
Incredible experience. So we'll see. Well, we're still looking at, you know, maybe he won't be ready for the 2030 World Cup, but maybe the one after.
You never know. You never know. 64 teams, bro. Maybe Dominican Republic. Maybe he plays with the art.
All right, everybody. Welcome to the Cooligans. My name is Christian Polanco.
Hey, I'm Alexis Guerreros.
We're back with the hot shows.
Oh, all right.
Oh. We were doing all the World Cup stuff, and those were absolutely fire. And they're only getting hotter.
Oh my god!
So
but are you excited for today's show?
I am quite excited, because we are going to be joined later on by Angel City FC striker Riley Tiernan, who will be chatting with us about how the season's going. We got a lot to cover today, because MLS had MLS is back, but they had the first like full slate of matches. And then we're also going to take a look at some of the youth prospects for the USMNT and where we're going when it comes to that.
It's a bit of a drop off from the quality of the World Cup. And I'm not saying that to besmirch MLS. Mm-hmm. I was watching Boca Juniors just got a Puskas award scored against them by Deportivo Riesa, I believe is the team name. It's like a team that was in the B like 3 or 4 years ago. Now they're up. And just an insane golazo, right? Scored against them to lose the game or for Deportivo Riesa to win. And all the comments are like, I missed the World Cup. The level was so much higher. So even in Argentina, they're feeling the same. Because I'm watching MLS, I'm like, bro, we would have made this pass if you had your nation over your heart. You know,
when I watch Argentinian soccer, I'm like, bro, I miss MLS. I miss the quality.
Yeah, bro. Seriously, bro. We're just more techie out here. Put that as a
but let's start today in Major League Soccer. We had a bunch of new names, but one of the biggest ones is Casemiro.
Yes.
Made his debut for Inter Miami. Mm-hmm. Casemiro made his MLS debut this weekend. He's kind of looking like the Busquets replacement, but let's ask, can Casemiro help Inter Miami win another MLS Cup?
This is the top topic.
I mean, yeah, right? Because you wanted someone who's a good defensive midfielder, help shield that back line, which has always been a big issue for Inter Miami. Mm-hmm. Not exactly the same type of player Busquets is like a flair techie, light on movements, but heavy on the feints.
Right, right.
Doesn't need to do a lot of running to find themselves in the right position. Can kind of see the play developing slowly. And I'm not saying Casemiro can't do that, but Casemiro is a bit more of like a physical, almost like a destroyer. You know what I mean? Like, that's how I picture him. Can still make a line-breaking pass, but it's not the first thing you think of when you think of a Casemiro. So very different. But I don't think you need a Busquets in order to win an MLS. I think you need more of a Casemiro. And I think Casemiro is actually going to be provide a little bit more of what the Botox is killing me. We're just looking at a photo now. It's so crazy.
It's not that bad.
It's pretty bad, dude. I mean, this is nuts. He's got, you know, he'd be good at Inter Miami and on the Real Housewives. But when I look at a player like Casemiro, I think he still got it. I think there were questions when he first got to Manchester United of like, yo, did the game leave him?
Right.
You know,
right.
Before he left the game.
Was like Carragher's
and thing, then under yeah. yeah, and then under Carrick, you saw, you know, a renewed post Amorim. Post Ruben Amorim, you saw a resurgence in his abilities and simply what you're asking him to do. So I think as long as, como se llama, Hoyos, right? Mm-hmm. As long as Hoyos kind of uses the same model of like not asking him to do stuff that's not to his best ability and lets him sort of be a little bit more of a regista than I think we've seen before, kind of lean on that. The same way, you know, Lionel Messi is more of a midfielder than he really was ever at Barca. He's almost more of a cam, you know, don't run too much. Sit in the center of the pitch and make those line breaking passes if you can, or, you know, pull some strings and then go ahead and, you know, make a late run. Or if you get space, which you obviously will, can you be influential in that way? I think Casemiro kind of has to do the same thing.
Yeah, I was impressed that he played. He played the whole game.
Yeah. He's in incredible shape.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. But just off the World Cup, he did leave fairly early or sooner than he wanted to. But I thought he fit in well. And I think it's what Inter Miami need in like. To me, Real Madrid Casemiro and Manchester United Casemiro are like two different people.
Right.
They played. They're asked sort of different roles.
Mm-hmm.
He was for Manchester United. I think he was more. They asked him to score more, or that is what he did. I mean, right. On set pieces, I think he was just.
That's a play so dramatically different, right? Especially Premier League versus that era of Real Madrid.
So I think, but I think he can go back to Real Madrid Casemiro a little bit because kind of maintaining control of the ball, he'll have more time on the ball to think and find players. They won 1-0 against Montreal, but to play without Messi and still like. Be in a good amount of control of the game. I think he had the most touches in the game. Yeah, he had a joint most touches with 78, which is for a new guy, first game in MLS. Yes, it's Inter Miami, but still, like you sort of expect a little bit of a
learning curve,
a little adaption to the league,
grace period before you sort of get warmed up.
But I thought it was great.
He didn't need that, but also you get to play, Montreal, which is almost like a. It's a preseason, you know?
I mean, they got to figure out a bunch of stuff.
They got to do something.
But guys, we're looking at his career accolades. I mean, that dude has won it all besides the World Cup with Brazil.
I think this is an incredible player to bring in simply because of this. You know, like, you know, we talk about, like, remember, like, Inter Miami when they first got Lionel Messi did not win MLS Cup. Mm-hmm. And it was like, can you surround him with players that have that sort of, what's the term? Like, the history of like winning, you know what I mean? Sure. Just know what it takes to win. Know what it takes to put it all on the line to win. Casemiro is that. But don't you also find it a little odd that it's like a Real Madrid player?
That what?
Like who's replacing Busquets, you know? And like it was like Busquets, Messi, you know, Suarez. You know, it's like all these Barca players. Now all of a sudden we're just plopping in this Real Madrid player. Like, didn't y'all hate each other back then? It just seems so odd to me that we're like, is this Real Madrid player the perfect guy to replace Busquets?
I don't know. For me, now I think the rivalry between the teams is there, clearly, and the clubs, there's a rivalry. But the players themselves, I feel and this is my own personal bias, I feel like Barca players want to play for Barca. I feel like Real Madrid players are like, yo, the money's really good. Let me go play for Real Madrid.
Oh boy, the comments are gonna be crazy.
I don't think every Real Madrid player is like, I live and breathe this club. There are certain ones that do, but that's I don't even know if I'm wrong or right. That's just my opinion. That's just, I'm not a fan of either of the teams.
I don't think everyone's gonna say you're a Barca fan.
But Real Madrid throws money at the problem. They need to fill a position. They're like, okay, where can I throw the money?
There's a mafia-esque vibe to Real Madrid. When they call you, you better do.
The saying is like when Real Madrid calls, you have to answer.
They only call once,
and there's a little bit of a little bit like a threat, right?
You know, it's like Michael Corleone going like, one day I'm gonna ask you for a favor. It's like, you're not going to say no now. Right. Whatever it is, the answer is yes.
Exactly. You know? So that's generally the thing. So I can imagine plenty of Real Madrid players being like, man, I would love to play with Messi one day, right? Like, as a bucket list thing. I think there's a video. Remember Evan Turner?
Of course. Yeah.
There's a video of him talking about playing against the Warriors and playing against Steph that Steph Curry was cooking them so much that after, like, I don't know, the eighth or ninth three-pointer, he forgot that he was on the opposing team and Steph took a three from like half court and he started celebrating as a fan of the game. But like, yeah, yo, I like, can't. Damn. He's like, oh man, hold on.
You cooking them, but wait, that's me.
I'm wearing the green jersey.
I'm the ox. Damn.
I'm wearing the Blazers jersey. And I think that's how some players operate when it comes to the opportunity to play against Messi and Casemiro. To me, is like kind of no different. So I don't imagine this animosity amongst the players themselves if they're not wearing the actual shirt at that moment. I think they're all homies behind the scenes.
To the point you made, though, do you think Casemiro can go back to sort of just being like a defensive midfield sort of stalwart? Mm-hmm. And I don't know, man. I think there's so much more to gain from him being able to make those late runs. You know what I mean? Him attacking, they like to overload much more the same way like Premier League teams like to do, overload the final third, which Real Madrid was not trying to do that. They were trying to hit you more on the counter back in his era. I don't know, man. I kind of think he has a lot more. He's just at a higher level. You know what I mean? He's experienced a higher level of player for most of his career. I feel like while his synapses are still, you know, he's still quick and still youngish, I think do that. You know, let him be a little bit more attacking if he gets the chance.
Yeah, I think this is, you know, especially even after the Inter Miami's first game back was on Wednesday. Mm-hmm. And then Rocco Rios Novo gave up that unbelievable own goal. That was just one of the most embarrassing things. It's one of those things of like, yo, everybody, the World Cup ended.
Yeah.
And the first game back, you know, a lot of people, hey, I like soccer now.
Yeah.
Let me go watch this Inter Miami. I've heard that they're very good.
I didn't think you were supposed to pass it in your own goal, though.
I mean, he completely whiffed on the shot. So, but they ended up still winning the game. And so, again, to have this, like, this kind of big win for Inter Miami on the road without Messi, I think says a lot of where Casemiro can contribute and stuff like that. I mean, nobody's worried about Inter Miami like doing well or not, but the you bring in new players, it doesn't guarantee that even if they're like high profile names, it doesn't guarantee that they're going to be like fantastic.
Yeah, in fact, it feels like he slots right in.
I see, but I want to see when the entire team is back, when Rodrigo De Paul and Lionel Messi are there. Mm. To me, Rodrigo De Paul and Casemiro are kind of the same guy a little bit. I want, they're similar roles.
I think you'll see Casemiro venture a bit more forward because Rodrigo De Paul is like, why don't you sit back there?
Agree. Yeah, so I'm curious to see what that full team is going to look like. Another player that made a great debut this week and played already in his second game, Antoine Griezmann, played his second game for Orlando City, and he scored in his first game, which was basically a ball that they just gave to him. I forgot who was it that passed it away, and it led to the goal. But Orlando City, I think, winning against Nashville, who are leading in the Supporters Shield. There's Griezmann is just like, he's one of these players that it's almost surprising that he ended up going to Orlando, because no shade to Orlando City fans, but everybody was thinking Miami, you know, they were thinking New York, yeah, LA, whatever. And but seemingly just a great fit. He's just like making everybody better, adds a certain level of confidence. This is always, you know, you call MLS, people call MLS retirement league or whatever, but when players like this show up,
And meaning like they still want a ball.
They still want a ball. I mean? And they don't act like they're above it.
Right.
They are like, okay, these are my teammates. Yes, it's not Julian Alvarez and it's not, these high profile names I was playing with in Atletico. But this is, it's fun to have Antoine Griezmann. He was at Fanatics Fest a couple blocks from where we are right now.
He loves America.
He loves
like American sports.
He loves American things.
Yeah.
He did great there. And seemingly having just a good time with Orlando. But no, two wins in two for Antoine Griezmann. So it's just great to see.
Yeah, he's also like, he seems like he's enjoying finding out who the teammates are. You know, like he's got nice things to say about a lot of the players, the youth. To me, it's like you're having a good time in America, and I'm excited about that. But also, it seems like he's not here to collect the check. It seems like he wants Orlando to win. He wants to have pride in this last part of his career.
Yeah, I mean, Orlando, they also have a fairly strong team. The
4-4-1-1 is kind of crazy.
But the Ojeda, who's an absolute baller, and then this dude that was at the world World Cup. What's his name? The Croatian guy. He scored in the World Cup as well. Why am I forgetting his name? It's just blanking. But this is gonna be, I think, a team that's gonna be in the a real problem in the playoffs.
Finally, hopefully, right? Orlando has been sniffing at a title team for a while.
Right, right.
They tried a few different things, so maybe this is the team they need.
And I just hope we like, I don't necessarily love the bringing in older players into the league kind of a thing, because I think the building up from the youth has also paid off for a lot of teams. But there's just some players that you just gotta, like, if you can't say no to the opportunity, right? If like you
100%.
And Griezmann is another one.
Also, that's the position we can't build here really well,
which is what,
like, the attacking midfielder-ish type player, the CAM.
Yeah.
God, this, please, more. Like, Maxi Morales is a great example. Like, where are you going to find a guy to replace him if the injury lasts a little bit longer than we expect?
Right.
That's just the type of player. That's the type of player you got to spend your TAM, your GAM, or whatever the hell you need. That's who you go out and sign.
Another name we got to mention is Robert Lewandowski, who I got to see in person. I wanted to make sure.
You and every Polish person who lives in New York and New Jersey. All of Garfield, New Jersey was empty that day.
There was so much red and white, and it wasn't a Red Bull game, bro. It was kind of awesome to see, even going heading to the stadium, and you just saw so many Poland jerseys, Lewandowski jerseys for Barcelona, but a few Lewandowski jerseys of like other teams he's
some
played
Dortmund
at.
Kids maybe.
Dortmund, Bayern. And he came in, he played his first game midweek. So he came into the second half after they were, I believe, already down 2-1. And he didn't do much in the game. I don't think he had many chances, if I can remember correctly. But the one thing I just wanted to see every touch and see how he what I've never seen Lewandowski play in person.
Right. Him figuring out what's the speed of the defenders here.
The one thing, he's not like a big guy, but what I was impressed with was he has no, like, his composure when he has the ball in the final third is elite. Like, he is not nervous.
Yeah.
You could double team him. He's not worried. He literally knows where to place his body and position his arms exactly where you can't reach the ball. All you can really do is foul him or hit the ball over the touchline or whatever. So that was like the coolest part of his game. Even though, you know, a lot of people probably left being like, "Oh, Lewandowski didn't do anything," whatever. Yeah. But I was watching like more of the detail.
I brought all this kielbasa for nothing.
And but no, NYCFC were dominant in the game. I mean,
It was 3-1 after the first half, and then it stayed that way for the rest of the game.
Right. Well, the third goal came in the second.
No.
Oh, all the
first half.
Came.
Yeah, you were there, weren't you?
I was there.
Okay.
I just didn't remember.
Kid's been hitting the bar a little bit.
but I was NYCFC without. I mean, there's so many players injured. The two Australian, O'Neill and Trewin, Keaton Parks, Maxi Morales.
But they're playing well.
They just like everybody's. It's just like a next man up kind of thing. And it was great to see.
You know what I give it to? Coach Jansen isn't wearing the sweater tracksuit anymore.
Oh yeah,
yeah, that's switching it up.
I mean, it was quite warm.
Yeah, but before, remember,
but he wouldn't switch it. Yeah,
yeah. I think he hated it. I had questions about it.
Yeah, didn't he say something about like his wife or somebody commented on it, and then he changed it for this season or something. Yeah. I forgot what it was, but a couple of players I thought were unbelievable in this game. The left back, Nico Cavallo, mm-hmm. Who is like homegrown and kind of does his thing.
But played for NYCFC 2, I believe.
Yeah, yeah. Kevin O'Toole is out injured. And this kid is just stepping. I'm like, he looks like, I mean, his combinations and just getting out of like trouble. I'm like, there's some people where like the World Cup break happens and for some reason every player is injured, right? Like even players that didn't play in the World Cup. I'm like, what the hell's going on? But players that just took advantage of that.
If you're going to get minutes, especially as a young player.
Yeah. Well, not only can you get minutes, but like, I don't know what you were kicking the ball against the wall. You were doing like, you took the time to do whatever else you need to do to like level up your game. And it's just been fantastic to see. So
also I see James Sands playing well.
James Sands is back. And I was.
We got to see him in Germany and we thought he played incredibly well.
And the first thing I said to you, and I was telling people, I'm like, watching him play, it's like exciting to have him back, but there's a little bit of like, you're too good to be here, bro. You don't need to be here. Like,
come on, get another stamp on that passport.
So we'll see where James ends, like ends up. But what a great player to have back.
Yeah, he's for just, sure.
One of the kind of, and he plays center back too, which is also fantastic. All right, so my man is versatile,
mm-hmm. Swiss Army knife, if you will,
to say the least.
When we talk about superstars, baby, we're bringing them all in.
That's right. It's just a sophomore, an NWSL sophomore.
Yes.
That we're bringing on.
Made a hell of a stamp in the league in her rookie season.
Exactly. The one and only.
Top scorer last year, from Angel City?
Pretty high up. Yeah.
Come on now. Are we doing this?
we got to make sure we clock it.
You know what I mean?
We are the Gen Z.
The one, the only. She's from Jersey, but unfortunately, she's from the South Side. we ain't got to talk about it. No. The one, the only. You hear Riley Tiernan, everybody.
Hey. Riley, what's up?
Yeah.
Thanks for having me.
The reason I say unfortunately is, one, I heard you're an Eagles fan, and two, I'm just going to ask. I know you're going to break my heart. I'm born and raised in Newark. I call it Taylor Ham. What do you call it?
Purple.
See what I'm saying?
No other answer.
Yeah, we're gonna have to end the interview there. That was really great.
I mean, what a lovely. No, this is look. I mean, when it comes to soccer, especially in the United States, Jersey is this. I'm from Brooklyn, New York, so I wasn't even until we started doing this show. I didn't realize the influence, the history, the real legacy that comes with.
It's a football factory. Bro.
I don't know what it is about New Jersey. Can you speak to it? Because I'm sure you've met tons of people from New Jersey. Why does Jersey produce so much of the top tier of soccer talent in the country?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think Jersey is just super tough. I feel like growing up playing for like South Jersey PDA, we were super gritty, like always work hard. And I feel like that's why we produce such amazing athletes, because I think hard work is the most important thing when you're playing sports.
And it's Jersey, bro. Everything is a combo. Driving is competitive. You know, being in traffic is competitive. You think you're cutting me off? You know what I mean?
It's also a thing. Yeah, I had seen when you were on the show with Sam Mewis, you had mentioned about knowing GTL and the Gym Tan Laundry and the Jersey Shore. When I think of that type of personality, there's definitely like when I think of Jersey Shore, I think of like aesthetically out the outside. You there's almost a prissiness. Softness to it, but you are not that. You are a dog. How do you manage to bring both of those worlds together?
Yeah, I don't know. I think when it comes to sports, I'm definitely a dog, as you said. I think I like being physical and playing tough, but I think there's also like an outside version of me that likes to be girly. So I think it's the perfect combination.
That's, I think, the most, that's the most like intriguing part. The position we're in, we get a chance to meet so many of y'all, especially NWSL players. And you guys are like, you know, just incredible personalities, so fun. I see y'all on the pitch. I'm like, I don't want to be anywhere near y'all. And then y'all post on Instagram like a picture of you doing like the finger twist heart thing. And I'm like, that's the two, what are two different sides of the coin,
bro? Who are we getting today?
Which McCall, I want to ask about your rise to the level of where you're at. You just recently got called up to the U23s, you know, player of the month multiple times, leading scorer for Angel City. Many people, if all that's all they knew about you, they would not assume that you were a trialist. You had to work your way onto the team. What in that moment where you didn't get, you know, picked or signed early and you had to work your way into a club, what was the mentality that got you through that got you to the point where you believed in yourself enough to be where you are today?
Yeah, I think looking back, I definitely wouldn't change anything about my journey. I think that everything like that happened for a reason. And I think coming in, not getting signed right away, I think kind of like as a Jersey person, I would say pissed me off a little bit.
There you go.
But yeah, so I think I just turned that into fuel and motivation and just felt like I had so much more to prove. And I think I'm thankful for that and the way that it was given to me, and I wouldn't change it.
All right. This season has looked a little bit different than last. I mean, especially the goal distribution among Angel City. Like, I mean, the team is doing, has a pretty strong start. How are you adjusting to, I don't know if the roles are different or is the responsibilities different, but like, obviously you're getting team success, maybe scoring a few less goals to start the season, but how are you feeling to how this season is going and your role in it?
Yeah, I think my role as an individual player is always to just have an impact on the game, whether that's creating space for my teammates, getting assists, or getting goals, whether that be any of those. I think it's just important to be a good team player. So, yeah, for me personally, I just always want to have a positive impact and be a player that people want to watch.
When we looked up some of your information, obviously I knew you went to Rutgers. I didn't go to Rutgers. I couldn't get in. But it was cool. I've been there for the, what is it? The Fat Bastard sandwiches, but I haven't been, I didn't get to go to the school there. I heard you signed or you committed to it in eighth grade. I didn't even know in eighth grade, I didn't know the word college existed. What made you decide on Rutgers so early, yo?
Yeah, my sister Madison, she went there. So growing up, I was so lucky to be like have access to all of this high level soccer, and I got to be extremely involved in her process and her journey, and I got to know the coaches really well, and it was like family. And I think Rutgers is a big family organization, so yeah, I think they just took a chance on me and knew that I was good and hoped that I would continue to grow and develop. And it was really awesome.
But that's more than taking a chance. They're like, we've seen what this family is producing when it comes to soccer talent. They're like, it's not a chance. It's a bet. It's a certain.
It's a smart.
It's a smart.
Apple trees make apples. And you're like, I'm trying to sign
like
a
that,
bunch.
I like that.
Most people have a more competitive relationship with my sister where like, I don't know that I'd want to follow in her footsteps, you know, because I wouldn't want to be compared to her. She was a little bit smarter in school than I was. So I always hated that. I was funnier, which is how I ended up here. But what made you want to follow in your sister's footsteps in that way? Because you would assume that might be tough for athletes.
Yeah, I think it's definitely, obviously growing up, like following in her shadow, there was always the aspect of like being her younger sister. But I think a big reason why I came to Angel City was to kind of create my own path. Obviously, she played in the NWSL, but she stayed a little bit closer to home. So I think I saw that as my opportunity to kind of create a different path. But yeah, I think I wouldn't change it. I think she was definitely successful, but she always wanted me to be way more successful than she was. So I think it was really beneficial for me to just have that built in. And it was the biggest support system. So
I love it.
What a happy family.
I know, man. It's great to see.
You don't get it. No, it's my
crazy family. Though,
yeah. What's a sitcom coming?
I know, seriously. It's a Rembrandt painting we're talking to. That's awesome.
One thing I, especially being from Jersey, The adjustment usually when people get there, and I had seen that when you got to Los Angeles, you had never been there before. So now that you've been there for a little while, the traffic, I mean, Jersey traffic pales in comparison to LA traffic. What's the move? Do you already know every, you know, Route 110 to you know,
you can't go there at this time.
How are you adjusting to that?
No, I don't know any of that.
I'm so confused by it.
I don't even know that in Jersey, to be honest. And that's embarrassing, but the only one I know is I-95. And that's,
yeah, got it. The turnpike.
Yeah. That's it. I-95 is crazy.
Yeah.
Okay.
But no, I usually just plug where I'm going into the Waze, and then wherever that takes me, I just go where it takes me.
Okay. Yeah. Not bad.
That's smart. You got to follow the computer. That's what I say. It knows better than me. Yeah.
Have you done the driverless cars? Do they have them in LA?
The Waymos?
Yeah, the Waymos.
Have you done those?
No, I've never done one, but I've seen them around.
Okay.
They're usually like a lot of them in like Beverly Hills area.
So. Yeah.
Terrifying.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'm ready.
One of them was in New York and it drove through a police standoff. So they took him off.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, no, seriously. It drove right in between like cops holding guns out of the house. It was just like, right this way, sir. It's pretty crazy.
That's so funny.
We got some kinks to rework. I know when I go to LA, one of my first things I want to do is go to an In-N-Out. Are you an In-N-Out fan now that you might have had it more than once?
Huge In-N-Out fan.
All right, yes. Here we go. What's the order?
Oh my gosh, that's the best question ever. I love when people ask me that. So I actually used to watch TikToks all the time, like when I was back in Jersey before I ever knew I was going to come to California. And I would always watch videos of people eating In-N-Out. And I would be like, oh my gosh, like it looks so good. I want it so bad. So by the time I got here, I was already like an expert at ordering. So what I get is, it's called a Flying Dutchman. And you ask for it whole grilled onion wrapped. And I don't get it like without the bun because like, I don't want the bun, but it's just so much better with just onions. And I love grilled onions. So
do you know what the
Flying
Dutchman is?
I know. This is the first time hearing of it.
Riley, he doesn't know.
It's like,
instead of buns, it's what, a whole section of onion, like griddled, fried.
Ah.
Yeah, it's basically like the onions or the patty. Like the bun.
Okay. All right. Elite ball knowledge from Riley.
Also,
I love it.
Elite, bring your own breath mints after that. That's a whole lot of onion, yo.
Yeah.
Right. See, mine is protein style. I don't know if you know what that is. Instead of onions, it's lettuce.
Oh, I've had that too. I really like that too.
So good. It's so much better than the bun because the lettuce in California is crazy good.
Okay.
Yeah, the produce. Like really crunchy.
Yeah.
All right. Damn. Well, yeah, I mean, they have been out, but there's no Wawa's in LA. I heard from the homies at the Casuals FC, the Angel City podcast, that you are a Wawa fan. Is that something you miss still about home?
Yeah, Wawa is it has a special place in my heart. I try to describe it to like my teammates and they don't even understand. I'm like, it's like a gas station, but it's not. And it's like a convenience store, but it's not. Like, it's just the best. I don't even know how to describe it though.
I love
it. It was the first place I ever ordered a sandwich through an iPad, but then I also had to like tell the woman who worked behind the counter, like, please toast it, I forgot to hit that button.
But I love the energy that you brought when you talk. I mean, I thought I wouldn't be surprised if Riley has a couple of Wawa poems, you know what I mean? Like, there was
I do
but other than family. And forget family and friends. You can't say that. What do you miss most about the East Coast being out there?
I don't want to be like stereotypical, but I'm going to have to say the Jersey Shore. Nothing beats like the Jersey Shore in the summertime. And if you've never been, like, it's impossible to describe it. But like, if you've been, you know what it feels like. And it's just the boardwalk, the beach, everything. It's just,
I mean, this is that. I mean,
I picture you walking into the water, like the Pacific Ocean, being like, yo, this is warm. Get this. Get this out of here. Yeah. Where's all the seaweed and the green heads? There's not even anyone selling saltwater taffy. I'm out of this place. This place sucks.
Only someone who like truly loves the Jersey Shore would say that it's the Jersey Shore, the thing that they miss the most. I mean, as like someone from Brooklyn, I'm like, and from where you just like, my exposure to the Jersey Shore is like watching the show. I've been there once, twice maybe. And it's like, all right, yeah. I'd be fine never going to this again.
Where did you go mostly? Yeah, were you a Long Beach Island person or?
That's the thing. Like when people think of Jersey Shore, like that's not even really like the actual Jersey Shore that like I grew up going to.
Yeah.
I went to like Margate, Ventnor, Ocean City, Wildwood. Wildwood's mainly for like the boardwalk, but like Margate and Ventnor are beautiful. Like,
yeah, yeah.
The most beautiful places ever. So yeah, that's like a lot of people think of that, which is like, yeah, it's funny. It's a good show, but like, that's not really what the Jersey Shore is. Like, it's actually a really beautiful, nice place.
It is hilarious, though. You're living on the water, and you're like, you know what? I miss the other water.
I remember a pretty good ocean.
I think you'll figure it out.
I love the ocean here just as much.
One of the things that stood out to me about your career is when you left Rutgers, correct me if I'm wrong, you left as the career assist leader.
Yes, that's correct.
Right. And then you go to Angel City and you're primarily known like the star staff for you is goals. What is like your perfect spot? Do you not care? You go, put me at the 9, put me on the wing, put me at the 10. I'll do what I got to do. What's Riley Tiernan's like preferred spot?
Oh, that's, I don't know. Honestly, I've played a little bit of the wing this year and a little bit of the 10, but I do really like the 9. I feel like, I like the dynamic of it, like being able to check down and show for the ball or like hold the ball up for my team and play my teammates underneath or get in behind or get in the frame of the net on crosses and stuff like that. So yeah, I would say like the 9 has to be my favorite and I scored the most goals there, but I like the wing too. It's a different dynamic, a little bit more 1v1s, which is fun.
Yeah, and I'm curious about your just adapting to the end of it, so you can kind of just talk about that. But then one of the things I love is watching, especially in some of the goals you scored last season, is you have like a move. You know what I mean? When we talk about like especially NBA players with dribbles, like for a striker, which is what I see you as, there's some Cruyff turns in there. There's a little bit of just like
techie,
it's just putting techie. Foot on top of the ball, like confusing defenders a little bit. What do you like? Where do you see that? Like, does that work more as a winger? Does that work more as a striker? How do you incorporate that in whatever position that you are playing in at the moment?
Yeah, I think. It's usually like a chop. I'm thinking of what you're thinking of.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. I feel like that works pretty much anywhere on the field. But yeah, no, I don't know. It just always works. I don't know why.
It would work people against me in a Wawa parking lot. I'd be like, yo, where'd she go? No?
Like, people know that I do that. And, like, I've even had, like, girls say, like, as I'm playing against them, like, oh, she's going to cut it. But, like, it still doesn't. They still can't defend it. So, like, why would I stop doing it, you know?
It's the Arjen Robin. Like, yeah. You know he's going to do it, but
best of luck trying to stop it.
You got to stop it.
Yeah. Yeah. I think on the wing, especially, it's really good because a lot of the times they're sliding because they think you're going to cross the ball. So then it's like, I'm not going to cross it. And now you're on the ground, you know? So
were you surprised at like maybe everything that you were doing was working so quickly, like into the league? I mean, for some rookies take some time to like adjust, but I think people were kind of rattled and unexpected. They did not expect what they got from you, especially in that first season. How did you feel, acclimating to NWSL?
Yeah, I think coming in, I was just super hungry and fearless. And I think I had this level of like no pressure because no one knew who I was. So I was like, all right, let's just go out there and kick the ball around, put it in the net. And yeah, now this year it's obviously different. People know who I am, but I think I still try to always bring the same hungriness and determination. And I think, just be a good soccer player.
Okay.
Yeah.
Getting called up to the U23 team must have been a dream. Talk about that moment when you found out.
Yeah, I was really surprised, honestly, because I thought that I was aged out, but I got the opportunity to go play in Spain and it was so much fun. And I feel like I learned a lot, and I think it's really important switching from international play to club play. It's a lot of different styles of play, so I think it's really nice as a player to be able to flip that and be dynamic and learn all the different forms of play. So I think it was really cool.
I love it. We're lucky enough, and it still doesn't make sense to us that we got to do this, but Angel City's first season, we got invited into the room when they debuted the jerseys from that first season. And we were in the room with Mia Hamm. Still,
it's crazy.
I still cannot believe that was
that's
a thing.
So cool. So,
but we were really lucky to be there. But one of the cool things I've seen, even though, you know, Angel City hasn't always had the best results throughout the years, the support has always been there from day one. It is like one of the most well-supported NWSL teams in the league. Are there any particular moments that that you appreciate with the supporters? I know one of the things that's always fun is like the signs that they have are always incredible. They're really clever and funny. Has there been any particular moment that you've been like, oh man, it's really cool that I get to be a professional, but also a professional for this club?
Yeah, I think there's so many moments with this club because our fans are so incredible. They show up every game, no matter what the scores have been and how we're performing. So I can't thank them enough for that. But yeah, I think just being able to see little girls look up to me, knowing that like I was once that little girl, is super cool. I don't know if that'll ever like hit for me that I'm living my dream and also inspiring others. And yeah, I've gotten some really funny gifts from the fans too, like Jersey Shore, like merch. yeah, like really funny stuff. And I just like, it's obviously like silly gifts, but it just shows how much they like pay attention and care and like really like to get to know us as players and people. So I think that's really special and they really care for us. So we're really lucky.
I have a feeling I know the answer, but who was it that you looked up to that you were inspired by when you were young?
Yeah, I think obviously my sister was a huge figure in my life, but I really liked watching Messi. I would say he was the main player I watched growing up just because I wanted to score goals and dribble through everyone. Obviously, when you're a young player, that's like a lot easier to do because the style of play isn't as complex as it gets when you're older. But yeah, I would say Messi was a huge role model for me.
Oh, you know what? Plenty of other people might agree with you.
I think I heard of him. Okay. Are you a Barca fan?
Really? Yeah, I'm a Messi fan, so
there you go.
That's pretty much wherever he is, I'll be there.
Damn.
Okay.
You Argentinian without me knowing?
How's your Spanish, Riley?
Not good.
In your second season, and like you said earlier, like you know, defenders know about you a little bit more. I would imagine that they are picking up on your tendencies a little bit more, maybe trying to push you to your weaker foot and stuff like that. Is there any adjustment to that you're like thinking about and like, you know, trying to get past some of the defenders that may know you a little bit better?
Yeah, I think definitely adding layers to my game has been something I've wanted to do. I think it's so cool as a professional that you can continue to grow and you never reach that peak. So to just keep showing up every day and at training, adding layers to my game, whether that's being more dynamic off the ball or making runs and you know, adding so many different things, I think it makes you almost impossible to defend because they never know what you're going to do. So I think just remaining unpredictable is the goal.
Okay. I just want to do one quick thing. Maybe about a month ago, there was Angel City posted, like, I think it was like a post-match image of you, and you were making a really funny face.
That picture.
So I wanted to, because I made this, I posted this, I just wanted to see you react to it. I think you know what picture I'm talking about. Yes. let me know if you can see this. Can you see that?
I can.
It reminds
me
of...
That's like so similar. Wow.
It's pretty damn close.
This is the meme of the kid that's like, yo, it's tough. This is the tough meme.
Yeah. No, that's really spot on, actually.
Okay.
That's so funny.
When I initially saw it, I'm like, oh, I was like, is Riley happy they posted this photo or not? I wasn't exactly sure, but this is a tough photo of you.
Yeah, that's like, I don't know why I was making that face, but I'm so glad that photo exists.
Can I just tell you, the one comment that somebody made that made me laugh under this, I'm not going to show it on screen, but it just says, smells like bitch in here.
I love that. That's accurate.
Look at it, especially with the score line of 4-0. Damn, why play all 90, bro?
Yeah. Which I love. All right. We can take it off. Okay.
Thank you for playing along with that. I guess my question for you is, it's inspired for some reason, there's like children who listen to the show. And every once in a while, they'll say like, I want to play pro or whatever. Like, what advice do you have? And I'm like, the hell do I know? I'm a fat guy who has a podcast. But you obviously, you know, you played all through high school and college. And then you got the chance as a trialist to come on. There was a little bit of heartbreak there of maybe not signing. What advice would you give to someone who's maybe going through that moment and not sure that they have what it takes to go pro, but they want to give it a try? What advice would you give them?
Yeah, I think it's really important as like a young player to just remain confident in yourself. And I think doing as much as you can to continue to feel confident. So I think like that's in preparation and training. And I think that was a big thing that helped me going into my trialist invitation. I was training almost every single day for like 3 hours, which some people can say that's too much. But for me, it was like, I just felt so ready and ready to go, like when I came here. And yeah, I think like it's almost like studying for a test, just training as much as you can, and then just remaining confident and being yourself. And the journey is never a straight line. It's always going to be highs and lows. I've experienced it myself. Times that seem like a negative can always be turned into a positive. And I think just being able to learn from it and take them as lessons is what makes you great.
I love That's awesome.
It. Well, Riley, this has been incredible. I obviously wish you, we wish you the best for the rest of the season.
Put some respect on Jersey's name.
Yeah, let the West Coast know.
Yeah, and post that picture with it.
Yeah, done.
Right. I was thinking, I mean, this should be a new meme. I mean, that should be in TikTok comment section. It's a great photo.
We'll have to start that.
Pushing that.
And we'll talk to the governor of California, see if he can get the water a little colder out there on the beach for you.
Really
figure. Yeah. Tell him, man.
Riley Tiernan, best of luck with Angel City going forward, and hopefully a senior national team call up is coming up very soon for you. So we wish you the best. Riley Tiernan, we appreciate your time. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
The U.S. men's national team were bumped out of the World Cup in embarrassing fashion, which we done with those players now, all right? Let's think about who's up next, okay? Who could take over some of these spots that we absolutely need? And why don't we take a little hit of the U.S. men's national team fans' favorite drug, hopamine, by hyping up some of these young players way too early. Chris, who is one of the players that you're looking out for that can help the U.S. men's national team?
Hold on, let me just inject real quick.
Get some of that hopamine.
Hopamine right to my veins.
Straight to the vein, bro.
So for me, I'm going to, we got a couple names going. First one I'm going to go with is Kevin Sullivan.
Heard of him. We've interviewed him.
He's getting more and more minutes with the Philadelphia Union.
In the barber's chair, dyeing his hair blonde.
Okay. cutting his eyebrow a little bit. I mean, he has his priorities in order. We met him. He's a kid with a shocking amount of swag and confidence.
It's part of the game.
We met him when he was 16?
16. He's 17, 18 now, right?
I think he's 17, I think. But he is a look, the stats don't necessarily express like how good he is. He's already a Manchester City player, so next season that's where he will be. Mm-hmm. And we'll see where do I think he's going to get first team minutes with Manchester City? Probably not. But I think we're going to see a new level to him, and his yep. His game is going to be pushed to just a higher degree. So but he is a player that for the youth national teams, he is a leader. Like you see it when he is playing with kids his age.
Yeah, for sure.
So it's just I would just love to see him get that just those moments, just those couple moments in Major League Soccer that again, build that confidence, just seeing the ball go into the back of the net, get some assists. But he's becoming more trusted, I think, for the Philadelphia Union, especially since they let go of Bradley Carnell.
Yeah, I've gotten past the point of like wanting to see someone who has like a high level of potential cook the rest of the league. Sure. You know what I mean? Like, I understand sometimes it's the other players on your team, the team you're playing, what role you're being asked to fulfill. So I don't necessarily need to see you be an absolute highlight reel every time you touch the ball, but I do think it helps. And I think my first pick would be Neil Pierre, because the young kid but he's like 6'4" for Philadelphia Union. He's 6'6". Never mind. So, wow. what I like about him is as he was developing, he was more of a midfielder. And then as he got too tall, they sort of made him more of a center back, more of a defensive player. And you can see it in his game. He's really comfortable with the ball at his feet. Doesn't feel an immense amount of pressure when sort of players start to close in on him or press him. And you can start to see why this kid is being looked at. They have a partner with a team called Lyngby. I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly. In the Danish first division. And they loaned him out there. So yeah. He went there, he came back, played for Philadelphia Union 2. He's a YSC, I believe that's their academy. He's a Philadelphia Union Academy player. Mm-hmm. And I mean, this is really impressive stuff and a player that I immediately think, like, I know his brother he chose Haiti. And I'm like, we need to get this kid in a camp before he picks Haiti.
Okay.
Because there's something about the way he plays where I'm like, this is exactly the player we need. You know, in the wake of the back line not looking great, in particular, you know, with Tim Ream probably playing in his last World Cup, and all of us thinking like, yo, who's next? Some of the backup options didn't really shine in the moments where we needed them. So who's next? I'm looking at the youth players. Neil Pierre seems like a slot in. Him and Chris Richards would be exciting to watch. Maybe overhyping him for someone who's kind of young, but the little bits we've seen, whew.
But this is what we do here, bro.
Bro, hopamine, baby.
We got to make, this is the hopamine segment.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Let's
bro.
Get that going.
I was proud of myself when I came up with it.
So the, speaking of another center back, this, a player that I think needs to be sorted out and needs to get capped by the U.S. Men's National Team. He was a potential going to this World Cup, and it didn't work out. But Noah Kai Banks, at Augsburg.
From Connecticut, right?
I don't know where he was.
I think he's from Connecticut.
Okay. Yeah. He's playing in Germany. He's 19 years old. He's already made 31 starts for the national team. So he's been called up, but he didn't play, right? This was the issue because he hasn't
chosen yet.
Yeah, they think he's that Germany can scoop him up. But this got to be, for in my opinion, for 2030, get this sorted out, because think of I think Richards and Banks. Speaking of, he's 6'4". I think so. Him and Banks and Richards, I think, could be a really, really strong center back duo.
Banks and Pierre.
Maybe. I don't know. I don't want to get rid of Chris Richards. I'm not going to speak.
No. Neil Pierre could play fullback.
Okay.
That's how good he is.
So we'll see whether it's three at the back or four. But Norcat Banks has to. At the very least, let's get an answer, bro. Yeah. Like, you know, who are you going to give the rose to? Is it going to be Germany?
Yeah.
Or the U.S.? Like, you can't keep us in this place. I hate this situationship we got going on with Noah Kai Banks. I need to know where I stand.
Yeah.
I need to know.
Seriously, you want to start? Pick us.
I think that'll be the better move. So
although Jurgen Klopp might be. Did you see what he said in his thing? He's like, if you go after my family, I'm out.
He's setting the line with the media out in Germany. I ain't, who was the previous
I saw
coach?
How you did Nagelsmann, and I ain't taking it. So maybe he's not there for long.
Would be hilarious if, you know, after like 3 weeks on the job, he'd just be like, no, you saw what that journalist said? I'm done.
Yeah, hey, I'd respect it. Okay. I'm going to pick. So I think you and I are both looking at defensive players and goalkeepers for a reason.
Sure.
Because it didn't look great. But I'm going to pick an offensive player. And simply, I'm going to take Antoine Griezmann at his word. And I'm going to go with Justin Ellis of Orlando City.
Okay.
19 years old. Antoine Griezmann recently said. And I could see this guy playing. If he continues to develop, it's really exciting. I could see it. There it is. He has an incredible talent. And if he continues adding more, just as he has in the previous two games, he'll be a player for a top European team one day, which is incredible already.
We got Griezmann the scout.
Yeah. And in fact, if you look at Justin Ellis's and Antoine Griezmann's heat map for the last match against Nashville, you could see the link up play already. You could see Justin Ellis is like, I'm gonna use this opportunity to impress, you know, we gotta impress the headliner sometimes when you're the feature and you get linked with them if they didn't pick you on your own. And you could see him doing this. And I love that. To me, Justin Ellis, someone who played for Orlando City, the B team, you know, back in, what's that, MLS Next Pro, and now playing with the first team. I think he's still listed as an Orlando B team player on FOTMA. But you could see he's taking the opportunity. This is the type of person we need to be a potential future striker for the U.S. Men's National Team. Maybe not the starter. Maybe Phelan Balogun stays because I like the level he's at. But this is what we need. We need more attacking players to be pushing. We constantly pushing to get on that team.
Well, I have the attacking player for you, Alexa. Oh, so let's go.
Double dose of hope in me now.
Let's go with a player that people were suggesting should be should have been at the World Cup as well. Should have gotten an opportunity. And that is Xavier Gozo of RSL.
Great name, by the way.
Yes. He is when it comes to just being a creative, a playmaker, he incredibly pacey. You know, I just already scored some really big goals in MLS. He's just another player I would love to see get the opportunity, call him up to a camp, see what it's like. You know, U.S. soccer has to sort out the coaching situation. Mm-hmm. And so we have to see who's going to be sort of taking the reins and kind of imprint their philosophy going forward. But Xavier Gozo, already an MLS All-Star, one of the better players, also 19 years old. He's just been just too impressive. Where it's getting to a point where it's like undeniable. Like he really needs to get an opportunity just to kind of see what he has to offer on the international stage.
Yeah, I mean, look, six goals and four assists.
It's no joke. Yeah,
yeah. I mean, you're involved in 10 goals already. That's pretty impressive. Mm-hmm. And I like it, especially when your XG is 4.13, and you've got six goals. That means your shooting is a little bit above even what the average for that shot would have been. So I'm really excited. I'm gonna go in a goal. And this is no disrespect to Matt Freeze, but I think a lot of us are like, well, the level hasn't been as consistently as high as it used to be in goals. So what do we have out there? There's a lot of options, right? Coaching is an example. There's a bunch. I'm going to go with Gaga Slonina, bro.
Yeah, man.
We haven't heard from him in a minute.
Where did he go?
He was at, I don't want to say, what was he at? At Barnsley for a while. He was somewhere. I forget where he was.
He was in the championship.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. And I think last year he's at Chelsea youth rank still. So he's being kind of loaned around, but he's getting experiences. He's getting out there. You know what I mean? Mm. I don't need a goalkeeper to be great until you're 30. You know what I mean? And how old is Gaga Slonina? I think he's like 22.
He's very young.
Yeah. He's 22 years old. So, bro, you got time, baby. Go out and see the world.
He's backpacking through Europe.
Buddy,
he's
get out there.
Figuring himself out. But laugh, love.
Get some stamps on the old train card, bro. Go out there and see what's happening in the world. Because in like 4 years, bro, we don't need you to be at a top level.
Right.
I don't need it right now. But in 4 years, we don't need you. So maybe Gaga Slonina is not it. Maybe it's Diego Cochin. Maybe it's somebody else. You know, maybe it's someone in MLS right now. Sure. Whatever it is. I just think I want to see the era of American goalkeepers being at the highest levels and being some of the most impressive goalkeepers in the world. Not done yet.
Yeah. You know? I mean, just the fact that. Where is Slonina now? Is he still a Chelsea player on loan?
He is a Chelsea player, yeah.
So
technically a Chelsea U21 player.
Okay.
Does it give you the most confidence?
But there should be something like, why isn't Chelsea developed? Like, who's developing goalkeepers now? Like, what club is developing the best goalkeepers?
Yeah, so he's technically a Chelsea U21 player, but he was playing at Barnsley last year.
Right.
Right.
Yes, he gets a Club World Cup medal. He did. He was a Chelsea player.
Good.
It counts. Yeah. Right. I mentioned this last week, but like the fact that the U.S. is in this situation with their goalkeeping it's just like, it's so annoying because it's just like never been.
It used to be a position of strength for us.
So it's like, man, what, you know, I was saying the same thing last week. Like, what information is not being passed down? What did Guzan, Tim Howard, they clearly learned a lot playing in Europe. How have we not passed this information down? Because you, Friedel, I'm sure, you know, Casey Keller, Friedel, I'm sure helped Howard and Guzan and whatever. But like the fact that we're not, the fact that like Matt Turner's time in Europe just was really, it's just so bad and just like so disappointing.
It was disappointing the way it all, it, man, I had so much hope when it started.
Same, it was that when he was, I mean, look, we knew he probably wasn't going to play at Arsenal.
I don't know. I was like, he'll get some cum competitions. I said cup. It sounded like I said cum competitions.
You and I was like, what?
Cup competition.
I hope not.
But, you know, all right, he's going to be Carabao Cup guy, you know, FA Cup maybe a little bit. And I was fine with that because then maybe he gets a move somewhere else. And then I thought Nottingham Forest was that moment and it did not work out.
And it's just, I think Nottingham had the other issues with the owner. And
plus, Sells was just really good.
Yeah. And they, it's just with goalkeepers, I mean, if that you can't give up like these fundamental, like, not simple goals, but you there's certain
you just can't make big mistakes.
Is that
you're the one guy who can't?
But the fundamental mistake, he gave up that near post goal in Nottingham that everybody was like, and then as soon as all the pundits are like, you can't give that goal up, and then as soon as the goalkeeping pundits are like, you can't give that goal up, and then it's just like now it's just you have a bad like week of or like 4 or 5 days of like everybody in the media being like, you messed up, you did something fundamentally like goalkeepers should not be doing.
Yeah.
And he did not have the resume or clout to be able to make a mistake like that where you're like, oh, well, it was a great shot or it was a great goal. You know, it's, you know, quote unquote, like it's like Messi or Suarez. Like they're going to get those once in a while. Yeah. It was just like they didn't respect who was taking the shot and they didn't respect that the goal was even allowed. And he just had two. He probably had about 2 or 3 mistakes that were like,
yeah, I mean, and there was some like, highlight real mistakes.
Yeah. And it's just not.
But nobody says it about Gaga Sloney. Not yet.
So, yeah, we need that to be sorted out. And I don't know where that, again, I don't know where that sort of comes from. I don't know if it was, we had the privilege. What, did the Metro Stars develop?
I think it is that, I think it's that our American defenders were not as good. So I think goalkeepers faced more shots and had to stop more shots. Also, Americans have more hand-eye coordination because of the other sports we play. Uh-huh. And because we were so bad at developing players from like that 16 to 21, goalkeepers get to develop a lot later.
Yeah.
So I think American goalkeepers just continue to develop, face more shots. I mean, the 16 saves against Belgium, it's a ton, but I'm sure Tim Howard's like, bro, I face this in North, New Brunswick, New Jersey all the time, dude.
This is nothing.
My center backs let me down constantly. You know what I mean?
That's an interesting theory.
That's been my take from the beginning.
Since the field players have gotten better, the goalkeepers have had less to do.
Like David Raya ain't faced so many shots last season. He's like, bro, I'm not, you know what I mean?
Why I say every American goalkeeper needs to try to get to Everton. You need to go there.
Go to trash bathroom.
You're going to be facing quite a few shots.
Right.
All right?
Or go to Eredivisie. They ain't even trying to defend there, bro. They're not even trying.
So just consider it. You might get paid $42 a week, but
you're on your way to like a couple grand a week, though.
Okay? You're gonna be employee of the week at your club.
Don't worry about it. Think about it like a summer job you might want if you're out there. But look, we only got to pick 3 players each, right?
Uh-huh.
So come on, in the comments.
Yeah,
tell
let us know.
Who are you? Who's giving you that hope of me, bro?
Because yeah, man, this is a, if you are the real sickos watching the U19 U18 tournament,
they don't even know about this backup center back on
this. Is your time to shine in
El
the comment.
Paso locomotive.
This is your time to shine in the comment section. All right, let's wrap up the show right there. Thank you again to Riley Tiernan for joining us on the show.
Thank you awesome. So much.
Talk to some Angel City FC strikers. This is also another, well, I was talking to somebody else recently. We have to get, they were like, oh, all these NWSL players are awesome, funny, great personality. They were like, no, you have to get on the show. You got to get Sydney LaRue.
I would love to have
one of the players that we just have not had on. But
we're gonna have to get her legal team to clear the episode. Though
men's World Cup was fantastic. Yeah. She did a thing, a bit more aggressive than some of the players on
Captain
the pitch.
Captain Clapback too, bro. We would love to have Zing LaRue on the show. She's watching.
So we'll work on that. But as always, thank you so much for tuning in. Make sure you hit like and subscribe if you're watching on YouTube, or you get the opportunity. If you're listening to the show, head over to YouTube, subscribe there, because we always have a lot of fun videos that sometimes do not make the pod or whatever. So head over there. And if you as always, recommend the pod to somebody, especially after World Cup. A lot more people are into soccer. I think the Cooligans is the best way to stick with the game and mm-hmm. have fun with it, because there were a lot of fun moments and stories throughout the World Cup.
Let us be your gateway drug to the sport.
Exactly. We provide the dopamine that you need. it's quite addictive, okay? So we're happy to provide it. Okay, everybody. Thank you so much for tuning in. We'll see you on Thursday with a brand new episode. Take care, everybody.
Peace. Love you guys.